My guest at this time is Tennessee Republican Congressman Diane Black, freshman representing the Volunteer State's 6th Congressional District. She is joining us today to talk about a number of issues related to the issue of organized labor, specifically the National Labor Relations Board and its actions in South Carolina, but also how the government is targeting a business in her state, specifically Gibson Guitars. And Congressman, thanks so much for being with us.
Well, you're very welcome. Thank you for having me on today.
Well, let's talk about the issue that's closest to home for you, Gibson Guitars. Bring our listeners up to date on why the FBI raided this company. It can get a little bit complicated with the regulations involved here about the wood used and how it's used in the guitars. So what's going on here?
Sure. Well, it goes back actually 3 years ago when the company was originally raided, and there have been no charges brought since that time. They confiscated some wood that was obtained, I believe, Madagascar, but I'm not positive on that, but I believe that's the country. And, of course, this goes back to a number of years ago when plants were added to the Endangered Species Act, the Lacey Act. And in that, there's just a little bit of a quirk, too. Besides there being precious woods that are harvested in a certain way, and only so many of them obviously are able to be harvested, an additional little tweak in that change was that the wood would have to be finished in the country of the origin. And so there was an employment issue that was in this Endangered Species Act as well. And so what they did is they came in and they raided Gibson Guitar, and yet they haven't charged them with anything in the last 3 years. And once again, just 2 weeks ago, they came in and raided them once again. Again, with no charges, and confiscating wood, which, of course, is very important in their product because I'm not a guitar player, but I understand on these guitars, one of the things that makes them so precious to people is that the fingerboard is actually made of some unusual wood, a black ebony or a rosewood or something of that sort. And so the problem here is that government comes in and just upsets the entire operation without having a charge. And there should be some way that a company is assured that the government's not going to just come in and upset your entire company and make it so you can't make your product or have you spend a lot of money with attorneys for year after year after year and not have a charge. And so this is really government intrusion, probably at one of the biggest intrusions that we could find.
Now, Congressman, you mentioned that a previous raid happened about 3 years ago, which would have been pre-Obama administration. Is this just a government in general problem, or has it gotten worse over the past couple of years?
Well, I think that certainly when we look at these kinds of things, we say this is government intrusion. It doesn't matter who is in the White House. When we have government intruding on businesses without there being a way that you can say that this is really a necessary thing, that's government intrusion regardless of which administration. But in this particular administration, we're also looking at NLRB and how they have just gotten so much out of the area that in which they were originally established to be in, and they have gone way outside of their original intent. This really did have to be brought to the forefront where you have the NLRB, which was originally intended on being there to be the deciding factor when there were labor issues. And now what they're doing is they're pushing things more toward the labor side, which is not really the intent. They were to be an arbitrator, and they're not being that at this point in time. The bill really provides that NLRB cannot tell a company where they can move their business, that they don't have a right to do that, and that's really what this bill did.
In terms of regulations in general, is there any legislation that you or anybody else is drafting to address what happened with Gibson, or is there more of a regulatory rollback effort in other areas first?
Well, we have passed a number of bills to the Senate having to do with regulations. But as far as Gibson goes, we're still looking into the issue. There may be something that comes out of this. For instance, I believe that there should be some statutory limitation on how long you can be charged with, or they can come in and raid without charging you. And I think there ought to be a certain time period so that businesses are not strung out for long periods of time with legal action without there being some form of a charge. So that is one of the areas that we're looking at, but we have not decided yet on a specific piece of legislation.
Let's talk jobs a little more specifically now, Congressman. In terms of the president's jobs plan now and the way he proposes to pay for it, as a member of the Ways and Means and Budget Committees, how do you view his priorities here and what impact they would have?
Well, we didn't see anything new in the president's address that he gave us a couple of weeks ago. It's the same old stuff, where he wants to use the taxpayer dollars to stimulate the economy. We know that didn't work We don't have any new jobs as a result of his last stimulus package. And yet, at the same time, he again comes back to the whole issue of raising taxes on our job creators. Once again, the same kind of class warfare that we've seen in the past. And this is old stuff. It's nothing new, and it's not going to pass. That is not the way you create jobs. We know the way to create jobs, and businesses tell us this all the time, is to just have government get out of the way. Stop over-regulating, stop over-mandating, and stop over-taxing, and create some certainty so that they can create certainty within their business to have a business plan that they know they can move forward on and is workable and economically feasible. So the president really hasn't done anything at all in this last speech in moving forward on job creation. All he's done is scare the job creators even more to say, we're not going to grow our business because of the additional taxes that he is recommending.
I think virtually, if not all Republicans, have come out opposed to the plan, and even a number of Democrats have, and to the point where the Senate probably won't even be able to act on it in its current form. One of the ideas that seems to be getting more traction on both sides of the aisle is fundamental tax reform. I don't know if that's just in concept or in specifics of how that might be done. One of the major ideas out there, as you probably know, Congressman, is to reduce marginal rates, but then close what are considered loopholes and some other things that could eventually help on the revenue side. Is that something you support? And if you do, how do you think it ought to be structured?
Well, I can tell you that our committee, Ways and Means Committee, has been addressing this issue for the last 9 months. On a weekly basis, sometimes more than just once a week, we're in study sessions really trying to understand the current code, because anytime you're going to change something, you ought to know what you currently have so you know how to change it. And in that, there's been a consistent conversation that whatever we do must make it simpler, fairer, and flatter. And so I don't want to really say any numbers at a particular time because I'm not sure what the committee will come up with, but both on the corporate and the individual side, both of these need to be reformed. And again, in making it simpler, that means that we're going to look at all the exemptions that are out there. And I'm not going to say that perhaps all those exemptions will go away, but the idea is to make it simpler, which would mean a lot of them would. There may be some cases for some of those exemptions to stay in place that really help us economically, and especially being competitive globally. For instance, research for those companies, that a big part of them developing their product is to be able to have a tax exemption on the amount of money that they spend on their research. So those kinds of things will be taken into account, but we'll do a cost-benefit analysis to see whether they really do help us economically to grow and stay competitive globally, and whether they're just something that's in there that came as a result of a special interest.
Based on what you just said, Congressman, it sounds like your committee may well have a proposal in this Congress. Is that accurate?
There's a possibility of that. I would never want to speak anything for my chairman. I'll let Chairman Kemp decide when he's going to bring that about. But I can say we've done a lot of work to lead us toward having something that is available fairly soon.
It'll be very interesting to see that unfold. And when the details come out, certainly to chew over those. Congressman, thank you so much for your time today on all these topics. Very interesting.
You're very welcome. Thank you for having me. I look forward to it again.
Congressman Diane Black from Tennessee's 6th Congressional District, member of both the House Ways and Means and Budget Committees. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.